It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Never seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
Yeah.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Welcome into the Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio. Sitting in for Maria Chaleos this morning, I'm Dave Meekham. It's my pleasure to be here and hang out with my buddy, Ton Bettis, from the USU Extension. Good morning, Ton.
Good morning. We're here.
We are indeed here, hour two. And the first one flew by, and as I'm sure the rest will.
It will. And at 9 o'clock hour, I had a neighbor who went to a garden center, and a named garden center. They usually do a really good job. But they told her, they sold her a whole list of things on improving her yard and soil.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was gypsum. They said, oh, gypsum breaks up clay. And I had a horticultural hissy fit because gypsum, which is calcium sulfate, does not break up clay whatsoever.
Mm.
And so, some history on this. If you go to garden centers and look at their soil amendments, there's always a few that say gypsum included to break up clay. And it doesn't. There's no way that that gypsum can do it. And so the reason that they are putting, the reason they say that gypsum breaks up clay is that gypsum will get sodium out of soil. And so if you have a clay that for some reason is sodium rich, it happens on some mineral deposits that you may be built on or closer to the lakes, the soil will oftentimes be black or gray in color. And when it's wet, it's super slimy. Like if you tried to walk on it, you would just slip.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like it's ice. And so you need to have some soil testing done. And they can look at the pH and they do what's called a sodium absorptive ratio test, SAR. And you can be like, oh my gosh, I've got sodium. And then you could apply gypsum. And if you do things correctly, the gypsum will chemically bind to the sodium. And then you can water a lot and it flushes the gypsum that's bound with the sodium deeper into the soil.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is the only situation that gypsum will do you any good as far as a soil amendment is if you have sodium in your soil. Now, I know that this is kind of an obscure topic and it doesn't impact people directly, but when I hear of garden centers selling bags of gypsum saying it'll improve your soil, it absolutely will not.
Yeah, well, and it's crazy, but it's so you're saying that there isn't this kind of isolated application for gypsum in your soil, and perhaps if you live along the Jordan River or whatever, and you've got a lot of salts.
Well, as long as you have sodium salts,
okay,
not like calcium, carbon. You know, there's a lot of salts out there, but it's sodium chloride and other salts with sodium that mm-hmm. the gypsum will do anything for, and you need to do soil testing, including that SAR test, to really know if you have sodium in your soil.
So there you have this isolated application. Otherwise, leave the gypsum alone. Because honestly, if you've got clay, there's no magic cure for clay.
There is not. The only magic cure isn't really magic. It's more of a long-term solution. That's compost.
Right.
Low salt compost.
Yeah, and that's we constantly talk about compost in your garden for good reason.
Yeah.
It's not only, you know, to help you deal with the clay.
It's one of those things. Your soil's not retaining enough water, add compost.
Right.
Your soil's retaining too much water, add compost.
Need organic matter for healthier soil?
Add compost. Your soil's compacted. Till in compost. I mean, it really is a solution for a lot of different problems. And back to, you know, to this gypsum, being calcium sulfate, our soils are already calcium-based. They're up to one-third calcium. We don't need any more calcium in our soils. And that's why the gypsum can actually be a detriment if you don't have the sodium in there. And if you're trying to break up a clay, then you're going to be using compost, maybe some humates, and in certain situations, maybe a surfactant. That's only going to be good for 3 or 4 weeks, but there are other things you can use to help, quote unquote, break up the clay. But long term, your best solution is compost.
Always. And you know, we've been talking about tomatoes all morning. I don't ever fertilize my tomatoes. I mix in compost with the soil when I plant them and I walk away. That's it. That's all I do for them the whole year.
Yeah. And in your situation, there's enough nitrogen, even though it's in low amounts, that you get healthy plants. And when you add fertilizer to tomatoes, if you don't know what you're doing, you'll get the most gorgeous tomatoes.
Oh, they'll be so green.
Without any fruit.
Right. Big and bushy.
Yeah.
And no fruit.
Yeah. So it's just one of those things that I felt bad that someone had spent $15 or $20 on a bag of gypsum. Our soil is not actually that clay. It's more of a clay loam or just, you know, it's acceptable soil. And they had sold her this whole bill of goods on how gypsum was just going to make things better. And I would have rather seen her take her money to Wendover and put it in a slot machine or played craps or something.
Or buy some compost.
Yes, or buy some compost. And so it's just one of those things that I wanted to get out there, that gypsum has a very limited use case for your yards. And it's when you have sodium in your soil. It's called a sodic soil. You can download fact sheets from USU. If you do an internet search on USU and sodic soils, it'll bring up descriptions and what to do about it. But otherwise, do not put gypsum on your soil.
There you go. All right. Before we take a break here, Tom, we promised to take Jamie's call. And Jamie, you're calling in from West Jordan. Good morning. How are you today?
I am good, thank you. I have, I have a north-facing house, and I had some vinca minor and major in there, and I took it out because it was just taking over everything. What else can I plant there? Because I'm okay with, you know, I want, we prefer perennials, but I don't want, because I don't want it to, if I get a bush or something, I don't want it to cover the window completely. It's a basement window. What could I get?
Well, do you have deer problems?
No.
Oh, good. That opens up a whole realm of possibilities. And so if you don't have deer problems, there's a number of perennials. And the easiest to grow is going to be one called hosta. I don't know if you're familiar with those, but they're very shade tolerant. Very easy to grow, but they're also deer candy. They're also candy for slugs and snails, and so you need to be a little careful with your irrigation with that, but they're very manageable. And so when people just say, I need something to plant, looks pretty, I water it, I walk away, hosta, or those are usually my number one recommendation.
Okay.
So some other, go ahead.
I've seen that. We've had gophers, but I think I got rid of them, but that's why I wanted to plant something else.
Yes.
I just need some because the neighbor's cat is treating it as his litter box, so I need something else there.
Okay. So some other things, coral bells are another one that you could look at. They come in greens, reds, and yellows and shades in between.
Okay.
Those are easy.
Yeah,
one of my favorite, they take a year or two to really get established, but they get some size to them as far as width, are fall blooming anemones. They'll bloom in August and September and October, and they come in pastel pinks and shades thereof, whites and things. But I really love fall anemone for just something
anemone?
Easy to grow. Yeah, fall anemone.
Okay.
Then, I mean, okay, there's many, many others that will go in shade. You could maybe try some perennial geraniums. There's also one called Corydalis. It's spelled Corydalis, but it's pronounced Corydalis. So,
okay. Well, I bought some geraniums, but it said that the ones I had purchased are, they said they need sun.
Did you purchase annual geraniums or perennial?
Oh, probably, I thought it was perennial, but I, you know, got them from Costco. And
so if they, the perennial, a lot of times the perennial geraniums are referred to as crane's bill. And they only bloom in mid-spring to early summer. And so they're related to the other geraniums that are sometimes called pelargoniums. But if they've got the red, like the red flowers, they're pelargonium. Perennial geraniums are usually shades of pink into almost just variations on pink and white.
Okay.
So, but the perennial, if they are perennial geraniums, they will be shade tolerant.
Okay, good. One more quick question. My neighbor has, I think it's a lantern tree.
What kind of tree?
And I think it's called a lantern tree. They get those little greenish chartreuse seed pods, and then they turn a red color, and they have four black seeds in each of them.
Hmm.
I said, and those little black seeds, about a quarter inch, are all over my yard, and I pick up the seed pods everywhere.
I wonder if you have a golden rain tree. Are the flowers yellow?
Yes, the flowers are yellow.
And they're not a pod, like a bean pod.
Well, this is like it's like a pod, like it looks like an arrowhead-shaped pod. And it's a chartreuse color, and then it dries out and turns rusty color.
Huh, I would need to see some pictures. I wonder if it is the golden rain tree. But yeah, lantern tree is not one I've ever heard of.
Okay, because I did look at it, but still, it's like I
do you know a Latin name on it?
No, I do not.
But
I just had this. Like I said, we've been fighting the gophers in our yard, and I finally got them out of my backyard. So now I have all these seeds everywhere.
Okay.
Before I plant the lawn and everything, how can I get that out of there?
I don't know that there's a good way to do it. You could maybe try a leaf blower to see if you could blow them onto cement or something.
Yeah, but that's what we have to do.
Yeah, I don't know of any other way. And I just looked up lantern tree, and it's a Chilean species that wouldn't be hardy here.
Well,
so I wonder if you have gold. I don't know. I would need to see some pictures.
Yeah, I see these all the time in park strips. It's either those or the flowering pears.
Okay.
And so.
All right, Jamie. Hopefully that will help you out.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. You have a good day. Get out there and do some.
You too.
Do some stuff in your garden. All right. We're going to jump out and take a break here, and we'll be back on the other side with a call from DJ and help DJ out. And if you've got a question, KSL Talk is the line. Give us a call, and we'll help you out as well. And we'll be back with more of The Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's The Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio. Thanks for joining us today. Tom, we promised to take DJ's call, and that's what we're going to do now. DJ, good morning. You're calling in from Orem. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
Hanging in there. How can we help you out today?
So I have an apple tree that produces fruit every other year, and last year I started to notice that some of the leaves on the tree at the beginning of spring had a white powdered mildew on it. I went to the the Cook's farmhouse here. I went to the nursery here nearby, and they gave me a liquid systemic fungicide to put on it, and it didn't seem to do anything. Then towards the end of the year, actually more towards the middle of the year in the summer, in the hot summer, the leaves curled up, got a brown spot on them, and then many of them started to die and fall off. It was really disheartening.
Was the white powder still there?
The white powder was still present on some of the leaves, yes.
Okay.
And then this year, it's blossomed. I've had a ton of flowers on it. I'm anticipating a lot of fruit this year. But again, at the end of the branches where the new growth is, there's this white powder that's on the new growth, the new leaves. And I'm really worried that something's going on that I'm not taking care of, and I don't want to lose this tree.
Well, these fungicides are not once-and-done sprays, and so you could have knocked a lot of it out and not all of it. And if you didn't respray, then it will just come right back. You need to do more continuous monitoring. And so I would probably, as long as that fungicide is labeled for apples, I'd hit it again. But
okay. You
may need to spray every week or every 2 weeks to try to keep it at bay, because it's just one of those things that there's just not a once and done spray for powdery mildew.
Okay.
So really
what about
go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I was just going to say, what about the leaves curling and dying and getting the brown spots on them? Is that
powdery mildew will do that? You also could have had another disease in there called fire blight, which I would look up. You just do an internet search on USU and fire blight and make sure that that's not what it is.
Okay.
So the reason your apple bears biennially is because it's not thinned well. And so if you're happy with that, that's fine. If you want it to bear annually, you would thin those apples to one fruit per cluster and one fruit for every 6 inches to foot of branch. And then it should, over a few years, take on an annual bearing characteristic instead of biannual.
Oh, good to know. One fruit per cluster and then how?
One fruit for every 6 inches to foot.
Okay.
That'll also reduce the number of codling moth strikes in there, because codling moth prefer to lay eggs on clusters instead of a single fruit.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much.
All right. Appreciate
your help, Tom.
Good luck with that. Thanks for your call, DJ. It's when it comes to apples, it's quantity or quality.
It is. And if you thin the fruit, you get better fruit. You have fewer codling moth. It's easier to spray whatever you're using, whether it's organic, whatever. And it reduces stress on the tree so that it bears annually.
All right, we got to take a break here in just a moment, but we have a text here, Tom, that I think we can answer quickly. What is the life expectancy of a white birch tree? These people planted about 42 years ago, and one of them this year has no foliage.
Methuselah trees are what those are. Usually about 20 or 25 years. White birches are just not adapted to our climate. They get bronze birch borer in them, and they become firewood.
So getting 42 years out of a tree is
amazing.
They're
doing really well. Those for Utah, those are very old trees.
Well, okay. Well, there you go. Hopefully that helps you out. We are going to take a break here, but coming back on the other side, we're going to chat with Scott and Suzanne and Darren. So hang on the line, you guys. We'll be back to your calls right on the other side of news, traffic, and weather. Thanks for joining us on the Greenhouse Show this morning on KSL News Radio.
Let's dig around town with KSL Greenhouse.
Dig Around Town is brought to you by Utah State University Extension. Check out monthly gardening tips and online gardening courses at garden.usu.edu. Enjoy Redview Gardens Garden Poetry Walk during the month of May. The garden displays poems written by locals in stand-up display boxes placed throughout the garden. Find out more at redbuttegarden.org. Join USU Botanical Center in Kaysville on May 25th from 6 to 8. It's a walk and talk of the top 10 woody plants for landscapes. Find out more at usubotanicalcenter.org. Weber Basin Water's Spring Garden Fair is back. Learn about water-wise plants, smart irrigation, and more on Saturday, June 4th. You can find out more at weberbasin.com. Now a look at this week's quick tip.
I've been getting a lot of questions about lawns lately. People want to know if they're going to die with being watered only weekly, even then with a limited amount of water. Lawns are going to be just fine. In the wild, it's actually quite normal for them to go dormant, where the tops of the lawns brown out, but the crowns and roots stay alive. With cooler weather and the soil staying more moist in the fall, grasses oftentimes will revive and green up and will remain green from September through October.
You can also find the Dig Around Town calendar and more fun gardening info at kslnewsradio.com/greenhouse.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.